All right, you know, let's get into it. We got lots to talk about tonight. Hello and welcome to the USA Rugby Happy Hour Live here on Twitter Spaces. This is a one-of-a-kind show here in the U.S. We talk to the biggest names in Major League Rugby, USA Rugby, and plenty more. We're here for the next hour, so please share this show with your friends, teammates, family. If you'd like to come up here and comment or ask a question, we highly encourage you to do so. We love to have the listeners drive this show. To do that, click where it says Request at the bottom left of the screen, and we'll get you up here as soon as possible. And lastly, to get updates on future shows and news about USA Rugby, Major League Rugby, and more, follow Eagles Overseas and Rugby Morning here on Twitter and most other social media channels. All right, let's get on with it. I am Bill Baker of Eagles Overseas, host of the Eagle Eye Rugby Podcast, interviewing U.S. Eagles and more around the globe. And introduce himself is my co-host, John Fitzpatrick.
Hey, thanks, Bill. John Fitzpatrick from Rugby Morning. And what we do is we curate some of the top rugby news from around the world, and we serve it up in bite-sized nuggets in a newsletter Monday morning through Saturday morning with a little bit of an American slash North American point of view for all of our Canadian friends. We've got a few on here, but you can find us on our socials at Rugby Morning. But Bill, I'm really excited for tonight's show. I kind of like this new format we've got going on here where we bring on two players in an upcoming matchup. It kind of feels like Face Off. Remember that Nicolas Cage movie? Did you ever see that?
Hopefully with less boat chases and less less death. But we'll leave the death for Saturday afternoon. but yes, like John's saying, this is we're changing the format slightly up for this week and probably next few weeks as well. We have two incredible guests on today. Later on the show, we have Rugby Atlanta's Ryan Nell joining us. But to kick off this first half an hour, is a man who, I guess Dallin Stanford says, is quite the coffee snob. We have with us New England Free Jacks captain, Josh Larson. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hey, guys. Bill, thanks for having me on, mate.
Yeah, so what's that about? What's this coffee snob thing about?
Oh, no, it's just something that I've picked up, I guess, over sort of the COVID times, being locked away at home. Got into my coffee, and I think a few boys call me a snob now, but it's just a passion, a hobby, mate, of mine, so... Yeah, I get right into it, and just, I guess, pretty sick of the boys drinking Dunkin' 24/7. I need to get some real coffee.
So, Josh, you wouldn't approve of my Keurig habit every morning?
Oh, the Keurig. Oh, that's right. I mean, you got to run what you got to run. Eh? I think that's funny. I think Johnny P is actually listening. One of our halfbacks. He's on the show here. He's listening there. That's what he runs every morning, and I tell him not to. But you know,
good man.
We're slowly getting there.
I'm with you. I grew up in New England. I'm still up in the area. Even I'm like, okay, no more dunks. I got to pass that on. Darker the better for me these days, and probably the stronger the better. You know, what's your passion with coffee? And we'll move on from that in the rugby in a minute. What is your go-to drink?
Go-to drink. So I got the wee espresso machine at home. So I'll make a wee cortado, a flat white, which is, you know, double espresso shot and about four or five ounces of milk. Steam that up. Try to get a bit of latte art going. That's still a work in progress, but hey, mate, we're getting there. And actually, I should probably add, I probably shouldn't poo down Dunkin' too much, should I, living up here in Boston? It's probably not the smartest move.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah. Possibly one day a potential sponsor of the team. So let's...
I know the Jacks Rangers listen to it now are all over that sponsor, so I'd say next year, hopefully, they're swinging around.
All right, so I'm assuming that's not also your pregame ritual as well. Like half an hour before the match, you're not shooting back four shots of espresso.
No, not quite four shots. I'll have one on the bus on the way to the game, but that's about it. I'll be wide right through.
Nice. So, Josh, let's get right into it. Let's talk about this week. Obviously, a big match came up this weekend, which we're going to dig into a little more. But we're going to talk to you a little bit about a couple games over this season, but also this week's prep. So. Let's talk about this week, you know, going into Atlanta, you know, talk about training. What was training like? You know, how intense was it? Any different than other weeks as well?
Yeah, I guess, Bill, I guess, you know, big game this week. You know, we came in on Monday and got around each other pretty well and just sort of, you know, this is a big game. But I guess nothing changes too much for us in terms of our prep. Keep it pretty similar during the week and stuff. And it's just being making sure we're on fire on Saturday. We know Atlanta's a great team, you know, arguably the best team in the MLR. So, you know, we've done our due diligence and looked over them and what they bring. Obviously, a big physical pack and pretty hard ball carriers, very direct and stuff. So, yeah, we've had a really good week of training, mate. and yeah, just getting the body right now. Obviously, fly out tomorrow down to Atlanta. So yeah, the boys are excited. Definitely getting around each other for this one. And yeah, no doubt it's probably a bit bigger than your other average game, but nothing changed for us in terms of prep.
Well, what do you take away from Austin? I mean, a nice victory for you, but you know, you left some points off the board. You know, we had difficulties with the line out. You know, is that you work on maybe early on in the week and then work on game plan for Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, our set piece in general has been sort of something where, you know, we're going all right at, but we know we need to get a lot better, especially towards this back end of the season coming up. So I guess for us, it's just, yeah, nailing down that. I guess the big Atlanta got some big forwards and stuff. So, yeah, no, we've looked around that area. But also, yeah, in terms of the Austin game, mate, I think it was just we did leave a few points out on the board. You know, probably got unlucky a few times with a few defensive reads and stuff, which allowed them back into the game. And, I mean, fair to play to Austin. They're a very quality outfit and stuff. But, no, I guess in terms of that game, we're just real proud of the guys. You know, 1-23, we came out with a plan and really stuck to it. And, yeah, and we're just happy to get that win in the end.
I wanted to, Josh, I want to go back to that that Toronto game if you want to forget about how cold it was. But I mean, I had the comfort of watching that from my warm couch. But the old coldest thing that I was in my house was probably the cold beer that I was drinking. So when was the last time you played a game in blizzard or in snow conditions like that?
I think honestly, that's probably my first time in the snow. We've done a few trainings up in Canada. I remember one we were training up in the snow there. It was around an ARC tournament, so around January time up in winter in Vancouver there. But actually playing in the snow, especially in those conditions, that's definitely the coldest game I've played in. But yeah, no, it was definitely an experience. It was awesome to see all fans. We got about 2,400 out there and they stuck right through. So that's credit to our fan base and New Englanders and that getting behind us. So for our first time game, yeah, we were really happy. But geez, it did take me all night to get back to warmth. Eh? Couldn't feel my toes or fingers by the end of it. So, yeah, it's a bit of an experience.
Yeah, that's when that double espresso would have warmed you up.
Yeah, definitely. So that rolling at halftime. But we got around a few hand warmers and that. But, nah, it was, I guess, what made it a bit challenging, obviously, was a bit of a slow game towards that second half. So,
yeah,
first half was sweet. And then, I guess, getting into that back end of the half, you know, I think everyone was just getting around each other, wanting to, you know, keep moving a bit. But, it was all good. It was definitely an experience. But yeah, great to play against Toronto, eh? All the old phone and stuff. Good to see some of my buddies. So that was awesome.
Hey, you know what? John, let me jump in real quick. I feel like I have to confess something. Now, one of my buddies here, the guys I share season tickets with the Free Jacks is on watching right now or listening right now. We were in Dorchester at the Banshee earlier in the day. We were watching Ireland, watching the Six Nations. And our friend Peter flew in from Ireland for this as well. And he's excited about going to see the Free Jacks. And we're pumped. We're in all our gear. And then we kept an eye on the weather and, I'm going to blame it on our friend. He's not in a position to get, the fever. So, unfortunately we didn't go and I feel really bad about it, but I feel better saying we didn't do this.
Yeah. I guess, mate, the beautiful thing is we know Boston weather here, it's going to be in about a week or two time, it's going to be scorching hot. There's no spring. It just goes winter to summer. So, we'll definitely see you at a few of those, I'm sure.
But I don't. There is someone here that did go. Let's go to him right now. Our first listener asking the question. Now we all know him, Phil from Jack's Rangers. Man, thanks for coming up.
Oh man, this is awesome. So glad that Josh was able to come on here. And yeah, of course I was there. I'm a lunatic. I was going to be there regardless of the weather. No big deal. It's just, you know, Boston in the wintertime/spring, it's going to snow. So, you know, you just got to wear layers. That's the key thing, you know, just wear layers and enjoy. And we absolutely did, you know, as Josh was alluding to, 2,400 people for the first game. In those blizzard conditions, I have to expect that we'll have even more in the next home game. I believe it's the 2nd of April. So super excited about that. But Josh, I mean, I guess my question here is, what is the big difference between this year's away form, which has been fantastic, compared to last year's, where we didn't really know, with all due respect, what Free Jack team would show up in those away games, and that really hurt us, you know, trying to get into the playoffs last year. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, a gentleman that's watching or listening to this right now, Tom Kindly, to assemble this great team that has such good depth. But is there anything else that you can point to that has really been a huge factor in the excellent away form?
Yeah, first of all, Phil, huzzah, as always, mate. Good question. I guess for us, obviously Tom Conley's done an outstanding job. Obviously, recruiting the right people in the room. We know there's challenges with MLR flight schedules and stuff like that, early morning get-ups and stuff like that. But obviously, big shout-out. We've had Delta come on board, which has helped us a lot this year. The boys been getting into the lounge. It's been world-class a lot of the times. But, yeah, I guess, answering your question a bit, I guess, you know, as the years go on, returning players and obviously Tom Kindly and the coaching staff, you know, understand the demands of the travel. And it's not easy, you know, going out to West Coast, 6.5-hour flight and stuff. But we've just I guess, coming into this third year, we've really just sort of nailed it down, you know, what works for us, what's best for the boys. You know, is it get off, you know, flush the legs out straight away, or is it, you know, just rest time out there? You know, we've done some cool activities. So, yeah, I mean, it's – and also we've just embraced it, really, I think, guys. So, like, you know, for us being, you know, Boston with that weather, you know, we've been able to get out to some of these places in warmer weather and, you know, really enjoy it and sort of cherish that, knowing that, you know, coming the back end of the season, we're going to be back in front of our home crowd. So it's just sort of been that mentality. It is what it is, but we've also turned it into some real, you know, good culture times, bonding away together and getting the group humming, really. So you topple that on with just, you know, organisationally just being a bit more aware of the demands and stuff and nailing what we need to nail. And nailing our recovery once we get there, it's been pretty smooth and easy, actually.
Awesome. Just one more thing here. You know, Josh used to be my favorite player before he went to coach at Clemsucks Taters over the summer there. So that broke my heart. But I will say this about Josh. He has been the best player guest that we've ever had on the Jax Ranger show, and I'm happy to have him come back on at some point in the future. He's an amazing guest. So glad that you're doing this, Josh. You're an amazing captain for the Free Jacks, and we're so glad to have you. You know, just speaking from the fan perspective.
I appreciate it, Phil. Thanks so much. Means a lot. And yeah, I know all the boys are loving your work around the New England community. And if you guys get a chance, their podcast is really great. Features a lot of our players. Anyone out there, give a listen to the Jax Rangers podcast. It's a good bit of fun too. So loved it. Keep up the work, mate. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Huzzah.
Yeah, I second that, Phil. Great work with the podcast. It's fun listening to, especially that episode that you had John Fitzpatrick and myself on. Probably the most listened to, at least in my house.
I don't know about that, but it was a good one.
I told Phil afterwards that I found out how passionate New England Free Jacks fans are when I posted the first MLR power rankings, and I must have heard from 5 or 6 people within the first few minutes. I thought Twitter was broken. I was like, why are these people responding to me? But it was the passion and fury of Free Jacks fans. It was great. So, yes, kudos to you, Phil.
Oh, cheers. Appreciate that. I mean, the passion of the Jax Rangers fans or just Free Jacks fans in general is unmatched in the MLR. You know, we got a chance to show that on the internet almost daily with our people coming at folks. If they don't have them high enough in the rankings and stuff like that, you know, people will hear about it for sure. And John's a testament to that. But also just, you know, being able to go to these home games and, you know, when the weather gets better, you know, there'll be even more people showing up. And I think the league itself will see this, that we are the most passionate, the most engaged fans, and it's going to be a ruckus environment. RIP to the teams that have to show up to Fort Quincy as the weather gets warmer. It is going to be a madhouse there, and I'm super excited. And it's just, this thing is just continuing to grow, and it's just really cool.
And Peter, I'm going to come to you next, but let me ask one more question for Josh. We've been talking about weather quite a bit here. Wouldn't you think that this is actually a great time to go play in Atlanta? I mean, we don't have a match in July, but I live in Atlanta for a number of years, and humidity can be a bear. So wouldn't this be maybe the ideal time to play down there?
Yeah, I mean, exactly, 100%. I mean, looking at some of the weather forecasts, obviously, into looking at it with our game plan and what we want to do and stuff. And, yeah, I think it's about 60-odd degrees around kickoff, so you can ask for much better weather to play some footy in. And, yeah, we've been fortunate in that terms. Also playing NOLA first up, even though that was actually dropped down to about 30 for game time, you know, we know that can get hot down there. So, yeah, we've been pretty fortunate with playing these teams at the right time of the season, I guess, in terms of weather. But, you know, you control what you can control. And, yeah, there's definitely going to be some scorching days up in Boston too. So, yeah, we're aware of that too. So,
no doubt. Peter, thanks for coming up again. How are you doing?
Doing well, Bill. Thanks, man. How are you guys doing?
Great, thank you.
Just a quick question for Josh. Josh, yes, congratulations. Firstly, you guys have been playing some great rugby, man. And so we're watching you guys and supporting you guys. You know, watching you or New England the last few years, you know, it was always a good team. And But this year, there's a difference for me. You know, it looks like, you know, this is the real deal. You know, it looks like you guys can go on and win the whole thing. You know, so you just look like a team that's in a different class this year. And my question is, Coach Scott Matthey, he's obviously got a big part in that, or it looks like it. So what would you say is the biggest thing that he got right as a coach coming in? Thank you.
Hey, Peter, thanks for your question, mate. Appreciate that. Yeah, I guess Scott coming in, he's obviously been awesome. Younger guy as a coach, still really developing, but just a wealth of knowledge. Honestly, when he's come in, he's just made the transition real smooth. Obviously, we had Ryan Martin, who was world-class as well. He left on to the Rebels. So I think it was just slowly embedding his style of gameplay, right? But also being aware of not changing everything on the run. I think there's definitely been, as you can see, a bit more physicality in our game, a bit more direct around that stuff, especially around the tackle and the contact area. So he's really added a lot in terms of that. And also probably a lot what other people don't see is just his theming week to week is world class and getting guys on the right page, you know, creating a culture where everyone's playing for each other, you know, sort of hand up, not out, that sort of thing. So yeah, Scott, he's been immense. He's been awesome, very approachable. So all those things, but I guess the main thing is just coming in, to be honest, Peter, and, you know, not changing too much, but slowly introducing his style of play. And it's really, with the returning guys and obviously some new blood in the team, it's just made the transition really early, really nicely. And I probably put it, that's probably down to our start of our season, why we're, you know, feeling really good with where we're at. But also, obviously, we're probably only 60% of the way there, so we've got a lot of way to go. But, Scott's been awesome.
Yeah, it's and you know, it's, he has some big shoes to fill, and the last coach did extremely well last year with the Free Jacks, so have him fit in and have the players, you know, not just welcome him, but I mean, fit into his game plan as well. I think has shown how well you guys are playing this year, Josh. Let's talk a little bit about the players. Looked at the selection for the Saturday's game, and one player stuck out for me. Actually, two players. Let's talk about this first player, Josh, who's in the pack with you. He got his first start, first career MLR start last weekend. You know, the bald eagle, the pot roast, Kyle Sequeira. You know, he's getting a second start Saturday. You know, talk about Kyle for a second. You know, he's like a fun guy. You know, he's obviously getting rewarded for his hard work. You know, talk about his contribution to the team other than that fantastic hair.
Yeah. No, Kyle, he's definitely a character, mate. But when he steps on the field, he is, he's been immense. And it's good to see him getting rewarded now. And he's really coming into his own. You know, I first met Kyle a couple of years ago when he came on, just as a development player, and geez, his growth, his scrummaging, his work rate around the field has just grown day to day, and he's got some real confidence at the moment, which we love to see and stuff. So yeah, he's just really taking on the horn this year, and he's going balls to war, and he deserves where he's at. And yeah, like I said, he's just been, his scrummaging strength's been something I guess the coaches, all of us, have been real impressed with, and just how much he's progressed in the last couple of years. And yeah, he's definitely a force for us this weekend. So yeah, we're really happy with him. And then off the field, he provides a bit of character, but I think a lot of people see him for that, but what they don't see is probably like when he crosses the line, he's all go, and he's a madman, and he gets stuck in. He's a strong fella. So for us up front, you know, combating Atlanta's strengths and stuff like that, it's going to be important to have him on, you know, everything working for him. So all guns blazing. So yeah, no, we're excited to have the Eagle start, and you know, he's well deserved coming into that space for us.
Well, and he actually had quite a few yards with ball in hand. It was nice to see him rumbling through tackle and getting upfield, you know, eight meters to have him doing that. I don't know, with that hair flowing, I can't forgive the hair. With the hair,
he puts a foot down and he's throwing balls at the back and stuff. Like I said, it's just that confidence coming through. So it's great to see. And he, you know, he's a class player. And like I said, from what he's the last couple of years, how he's developed and stuff, he's really developed to an all round game as you know, as a front row forward. You know, and he's got this, like you said, a few silky touches and stuff like that. So it's great to see. But you'll see him running out with a big smile on his face. He's a great fella.
And looking at the bench here, Josh. A name that a lot of Free Jacks fans have been looking forward to seeing is Jesse Parete. He could make his debut this weekend. You know, this guy has a ton of experience, and you've already had a strong bench each match as well. You know, Super Rugby experience. You know, what does a guy like Jesse bring to this team?
Yeah, Jesse's going to bring obviously a big physicality edge, and just his understanding of the game. He's been immense for us while recovering from his injury. Unfortunately, he's had a couple of rough weeks to start of the season, you know, getting over a few injuries and reneging them. But he's had a great week of training. He's pumped up, ready to go. First of all, yeah, we're super excited to have him. I think it's just his experience, mate. Obviously he's been injured the first few weeks, but just his knowledge he's brought to the team outside, especially around our forward pack with our jumping and lifting and line outs and just positional play. He speaks really well, very clear. He's a natural leader, but he's obviously also a tough bugger. I'm sure if anyone's watching playing in New Zealand, he's pretty physical. So yeah, no, we're looking to have his impact this week, and we're really excited to have him on board. And I'm pretty sure he's fizz to go.
And let's talk about this number four guy, Josh Larson. I don't know if you heard of him. What do you bring to the team, Josh? I mean, you obviously a great leader out there. If you can rally this team from, you know, keeping their hands out of the shorts in a 30-degree weather in a match to pull away the victory, you obviously have some influence on this team. You know, come on, be selfish a second. Talk about yourself. What do you bring to this team, and why are you captain of the team?
Oh, mate, no, I'm just a leader amongst leaders, aren't I? Like, you know, we've got a very, very strong leadership group and stuff, and I guess you could just say I'm the voice on the field for them. But, no, mate, obviously I've really enjoyed the leadership role, growing into that, still learning a lot with that, but I'm really enjoying it, really relishing it. And, I obviously appreciate Mike and Scott, our coaches, backing me again this year to take the troops. But, like seriously, you know, we've got about six or seven leaders across the board, you know, that we all work together and stuff. So yeah, just getting their thoughts and just being really the spokesperson for them and just sort of the main in charge of that. It's been pretty easy, my job, to be honest. Got the backing of those boys and stuff, and that's all you can ask for. So yeah, I guess I'll just be rallying the troops, making sure, you know, Saturday's king. We meet fire with fire because we know Atlanta's going to be very, very good. Like I said, the best team in the league, arguably. So yeah, mate, it's just getting our boys ready to go. And obviously on my professional performance, it's leading that forward pack. And we talked about a bit of the line-out stuff at the start, you know, nailing down that and being better in that area. And then I think the rest of our game will flow. So, yeah, mate, no, we're pumped. I'm super excited for this one. It's going to be a cracker for sure.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great watch for everybody. Any Major League Rugby fan, you know, absolutely. The two other players I want to talk about. I mean, obviously we can't leave here in the next 5 minutes without talking about Waka. You know, he's having a great season for the team right now. Obviously an early MVP candidate. He just always seems even keel, always seems strong out there, you know, kicking for posts, scoring tries, setting up tries. You know, when you look at that back line, when you look at the backs, you know, how's it feel to see him back there so confident leading the team from that bend?
It's been massive for us. Obviously, he's been outstanding and, you know, and arguably one of the best players going around in the league at the first few rounds. And I guess just from me seeing, we all know he's a classy player with his silky touches and that, but he's come in, start of the year really fit, very hungry, very driven, more so than ever I've seen him. And yeah, he's just been super class. And I think you're seeing, Bill, to be honest, you're seeing a lot of tens now being able to be a running threat in the game and having Bodine to take on the line. You know, a lot of teams are drifting off tens and worrying about pods outside or forward runners outside. Having Bodine's ability special, just his speed off the mark, a second to none, it's world class. I mean, I sort of joke around, he should be playing Super Rugby at the moment, really. He's been outstanding. And just having his ability, like I said, to take on the line and being a running threat for us and off turnover ball, you know, is sublime. So, yeah, mate, it's definitely good when, you might get an awkward pass to saying you can turn something into nothing and get us back on the front foot. So, yeah, like I said, a running threat as a 10 can't go wrong. And he's just finding his mojo right now. And I think he's still got a bit more to go, which is scary. So that's awesome.
Great. All right, Karen, thanks for coming up.
Thanks, guys. Hey, Josh, I just wanted to say thanks for making Canada proud.
Hey, Karen. Good to hear from you. I love it. Always represent the Leafs. I was banging out that Canadian national anthem against the Arrows. Actually, that was awesome, and it was good to see all those guys. And yeah, looking forward to catch up with you and all the guys in Toronto, not far away.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you. Take care of yourself.
Appreciate it, Karen. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. All right, I've been hogging the mic, and John's got some questions.
Yeah, no worries, Josh. We got a couple minutes left here. We usually like to leave with some fun kind of spitball questions here. So who is the funniest person on the Free Jacks? What player is the funniest?
Yeah, when we touched on, you know, the bald eagle, Kyle Sekera, but I'd probably say the little leprechaun, Johnny Poland. You know, there's something with those little halfbacks that sort of crack a few jokes and stuff, and he's he's a good character for the team. He's always up for a laugh and stuff. Yeah, he's probably right up there for me.
Nice. Yeah, he was just on. It's too bad he just dipped off. But one of the great things about MLR, right, is you got players from all over the world playing. So everyone likes to joke around a little bit. Who's got the funniest accent on the team?
Funniest accent? Probably. So we got a guy, obviously Stan Vanderhorn. He's our other second row, other lock, the big Dutch giant. You know, he's almost 7 foot. And his accent is incredible. He's obviously born in the Netherlands, raised in New Zealand. It's sort of a Dutch Kiwi sort of mix, so you'll have to get them on sometime. You know what I mean? It's pretty hilarious. It's actually a very unique accent. So
we've heard a couple of nicknames already. Who's got the best nickname that we haven't heard yet?
Oh, Stan, they call him Stinger. Probably Joe the mechanic. You know, he's just always working. Joe Johnson, six. I don't know if that's self proclaimed or something, but you have to ask about that. But that's sort of come up a few times. Obviously, the eagle goes without questioning. Yeah, Dallin Stanford's a man for it, isn't he? He's probably came up with the wheelbarrow Barlow, just running over the top of guys. So a couple of those probably spring to mind, mate. But, yeah.
I love asking this question to the forwards. Which forward is the fastest?
Which forward That's is great. The fastest?
Yeah.
Geez, it's a good question, actually. I'd probably actually – Slade McDowell would be right up there. He's got some toe on him, the 7. Him or actually probably Joe Johnson. He'd be right up there too. So it'd be one of those flankers, I'd say, just off the top of my head. And old big man Regan O'Gorman, he's quite a beast in the gym, and he's obviously seen him, his legs are like tree trunks. When he gets going, his top end speed can get up there. He's moving the hoof. So,
yeah
mate, he gets up to some top end speed as well.
All right, last question before I toss it back over to Bill. What would Scott do if you attempted a drop goal in a game?
No, he'd probably say, mate, I'll back it. Nah, I don't know. You'd have to give me the circumstances of the game, but he's pretty supportive. And like I said, you know, it's we're playing rugby at the end of the day, so he probably supports most things. He's a positive fellow and stuff. So like I said.
So it sounds like you got the green light, Dan. We might be able to see that before the season ends.
Oh gosh, I don't know if you see a drop kick. You might see a chip or something at one point at the most, but nah, mate. I think especially in the 15s, I'll be head down, bum up, cleaning rucks and stuff. Especially against this quality Atlanta team, I won't be kicking the ball. That's for sure.
Good stuff.
All right, guys, listen. It's 9:30. It is time for us to say goodbye to Josh Larson, real quick. But last thing, Josh, and do you have any message for our next guest, Ryan Nell? Who I'm not going to say he's listening or not, but if you have a message for him about Saturday's game, go ahead.
No, I see him, Ryan Nell. Mate, I'm really looking forward to the game, and I've heard you guys got one of the best after matches and food spreads all around the league. So looking forward to that, Georgian hospitality. No, mate, it'll be good to see you guys, and looking forward to a good game.
Thank you so much, Josh. I really appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend. You know, have a safe flight tomorrow and enjoy the warm weather down there.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, everyone. Great show you're doing here, and really enjoyed the chat, and good to see some familiar faces listening as well. So appreciate it, guys.
All right. Cheers. Get rest.
Cheers.
All right, everyone else, still stick around. We have another good guest, great guest, actually, for the next 29 minutes. Again, you're here on the USA Rugby Happy Hour Live show on Twitter Spaces. Moving on. Josh is gone. Now we got someone from down the south. The Rugby Atlanta's Ryan Nell. Ryan, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Bill, thanks. Thanks for having me on today. Good thanks, and you?
Doing great. Have you been taking notes?
Yeah, I got a few notes. I know Josh is probably going to look at the drop call this weekend, so we'll get a shoot on him.
So you know, one of the first things we asked him also was, you know, about your week. You know, you're not selected this weekend. You know, talk about training. Are you nipped up a little bit? You know, how you doing?
Yeah, no, all good. I just got a bit of a strain on the hammy, but nothing too major. Just keep me on the side this weekend. But you know, regards to our training week, you know, it's kind of standard. We've got a process that we follow and how we go through things prep-wise every week. So we stuck to our guns and just follow that process for the prep for Free Jacks.
Now, this, the, you know, what you're feeling right now, does that have anything to do with that hit you took early on in the match last weekend?
Oh, no, luckily I shook that one off in the first minute, eh?
That's good to hear. And just, you know, Ryan, just real quick, let's talk about this season in general. You know, talk about the standards going into the season. Obviously, you guys made it very far last year, came up just short. You know, beginning of the season, there was a bit of turmoil as far as new coaching. That is, you know, some people thought Atlanta wouldn't do as well. Again, I'm going to be honest. This is a night of being honest. I was one of them, but I'm really happy to see you doing great. You know, talk about the standards coming in this season and how are you keeping them up?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, last season was good for us. You know, we took a lot of learnings out of it, got a lot of experience within the squad as well. Again, we put a lot of things in place from January already, so we kind of stuck to our guns on what was working for us, and taking those learnings and experience out from players, you know, following that process, going into these games. You know, it was just ticking the same boxes and taking those learnings and just improving on what we knew we were doing right and the things we were doing wrong. You know, weekly we just try and improve that. A big focus is on ourselves, you know, improving those areas where we can really get better and setting high standards for ourselves as players. You know, that's kind of been a good success for us.
Yeah, and you know, big wins. You know, DC came back and you scored a few points in your last weekend, but you know, you seem to be rolling as well. You know, so when we talk about this weekend's game with New England, you know, you also have another set of different players. You know, we were just asking Josh about Boney Waka. You know, you talk about a player like him. You know, how does a team play a player like Waka?
Yeah, well, obviously he's been having a good season. You know, we, like I said, we stick to our process. We have a good look through them, as I'm sure they have a look through us. And then, you know, we stick to our guns. We don't really look at any special attributes. We just kind of focus on what our process is and how we go to work, and how we want to improve our systems. You know, and that's kind of, you try and create the system that covers all those little aspects. So yeah, just again improving on a few things we didn't do right last week, and you kind of just keep climbing that ladder and to get better.
And we do have another one of our favorite listeners, and Ryan, and Phil, how you doing again?
Pretty good. I'm actually, John, you'll be happy to know that I'm actually playing my rugby game where I created all of the teams. But you will not be happy to know that I just beat DC once again. Very close game this time around. So, yeah. But yeah, hi, Ryan. Just wanted to ask you, I'm not sure if you were on the actually starting 23 in last year's game when they played up here in New England against the Free Jacks. But any impressions, if you were happened to be in the 23 there, of the crowd and whatnot at the Free Jacks' new home?
Yeah, I actually remember that game. You know, they took that one away from us just before that semifinal. Really good atmosphere. You know, we enjoyed coming out there. I think they have a really nice home ground as well. So, you know, I think later in the season we get them there again. So we'd be looking forward to that one. But yeah, no, I think they have a really good facility and a nice field. And, you know, it's a good challenge playing against them. So we'll enjoy coming out there.
And since we're all neutrals here, there's no Free Jack people on the call here. Any secret weapons that you guys plan on using against New England this weekend?
Yeah, maybe we'll look for the drop goal as well, eh?
There you go. I appreciate your time.
Cheers.
Hey, go ahead, John.
No, Ryan, I was going to say that was a great diplomatic answer. You can't give away all your secrets, especially those Jacks Rangers guys. You never know what they're listening on. But, Ryan, I wanted to take a quick step back here and talk a little bit about when you joined MLR, or Rugby Atlanta, back in 2020. I guess talk us through a little bit about your decision to join MLR and, you know, your impressions when you first came in the league and how you feel about the league now that you've got a couple of seasons under your belt.
Yeah, you know, at that stage, I was kind of just – I started looking abroad just kind of to challenge myself a bit. But you know, the MLR came up and I thought it would be an interesting challenge. You know, I saw there was quite a diverse – you know, countries and players coming from all over, so that would have been interesting. It has been interesting, but in terms of the quality of players, every year has just gotten better. You know, the first year it seemed like really physical but still a bit slow and a lot of errors, and then last year just got a bit better, and you know, this year it's just speeding up even more, and you'll see like the error rates dropping as well. So the quality of the game is definitely picking up, and it's exciting to see where it's going to go. You know, the fan base is also growing immensely, which is awesome to see. You know, all the teams, you get to a home game and you start feeling, you know, you're playing an away game, where that first season was kind of, it didn't really matter if you're playing home and away. It was only the travel affecting you. And now all of a sudden, you know, crowds are pulling in and there's a lot of commentating going on. So it just makes you enjoy the game a bit more.
Yeah, you talk a little bit about the crowd there. Let's talk a little bit about the change in venue, right? Last year, Rugby ATL played at the home of Life University, now on the other side of Atlanta at Silverbacks Park. Have you noticed a change in the home environment, or is it still just still pretty loud and exciting to play there?
No, it's definitely be good for us. Yeah, you know, laughs. We kind of changed the pitches as we kind of went into the season. But Silverbacks has been good. We're really enjoying it. It's got a nice closed feeling. It's kind of got this dome feeling to it. So you kind of hear the crowd a bit more. They're really close to the field as well. So, we're really enjoying Silverbacks at the moment.
Well, good stuff. Yeah, I guess your transition, you know, moving overseas, moving to the U.S., what, I guess, has surprised you most about living in the U.S. so far, whether it's strictly Atlanta, you know, certain foods that you like? What has surprised you the most about living here?
Oh, mate, I'd probably say the amount of fast food available has been, oh, I can't believe it. You know, you walk down the street and you get like 3 McDonald's.
I don't know if that's a good thing for us. I don't know what that says about us.
Yeah, so that's kind of been a surprise. And I definitely say, like, every starter you get, you'll probably get like a free drink. And it's just, yeah, you know, the gas drinks are just free, all the gas cool drinks. So that's been new to us.
Ryan, you mentioned, or John mentioned, Silverback, the new stadium. I had the luxury of playing on that a couple of times. I played for Atlanta Old White for a number of years, and our biggest rivalry was with the Atlanta Renegades, and they happened to be playing against each other prior to your match on Saturday. And the reason why I bring that up is because those were the most physical matches ever played in my life, because that was more than winning the game. That was a kind of a Atlanta dominance. This is our town kind of thing. You know, if you look back in your career so far, whether it's MLR or other leagues, you know, did you have those matchups? Did you have those teams you faced where you just, like, it was just draining, the most physical ever?
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, I think every league and every team has kind of this a derby mindset against one specific team. So that's probably across the world, you know, and in every kind of league that you get that. So, yeah, no, I definitely know those games. It's just a bit more, you kind of emotionally invested into those as well. And, you know, every hit just makes a bit more, you put a bit more effort into the shoulder. So, then it's kind of just being a bit more disciplined when you go into those.
Maybe a high tackle or two. Oh, no, I'm just saying. So we're here for another 19 minutes, everybody. Come on up. Let's ask some questions, which brings us to Jaden. Jaden, thanks for coming up.
Hey, how's it going, guys? All right, so I got a question for Ryan. I'm a big ATL fan from the area, and one of the things I love about the team is that regardless of who's in the squad, the performance level never drops off. And so I was just wondering, in regards to the whole team and specifically some big names for us, Mendia and Deacon, who haven't been in the squad for a while, is the turnover mostly tactical, or in regards to those players and others, is that an injury thing or just trying to keep guys healthy throughout the year? How what's the decision making going on with that?
Oh, Jaden, good question, mate. Thanks for the support. You know, coming into the season, one of the things we learned out of last season was really just building our depth. So going into the kind of the short preseason we had, we said, you know, we're going to play through our whole squad this year, no matter whether it's the first stretch or it's the second stretch. You know, everyone goes through this quick sprint, I'd say like the first 8 or 9 games, and then you really get to the back end of it, and that's where you really test your depth. So, you know, we had this rotation mindset going into it, that everyone's working hard, everyone works with a badge and the jersey. So we give everyone an opportunity, and that's kind of been a theme going for us week to week. You know, we back every guy in the squad to carry his weight going into the weekend. We all trust each other. So we've been comfortable with the rotations, and I think it's actually been doing us quite well. And I think the real value of that will come towards the end of the season.
Thanks, Jaden. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, right. I wanted to switch gears here a second. You know, a little research. We saw you're part of back in the day, you were part of the South Africa Sevens, the Blitzbox. Who certainly now that Sevens is back on the scene there, there's been a couple of stages so far. It's been great to see. Do you miss playing the Sevens game at all?
Yeah, you know, I took a lot of learnings out of my time there. You definitely grow as a player in the Sevens setup. But I always had a love for the 15s game, you know. Even though I enjoyed my time a lot then, it was obviously a big honor to represent the Blitzbox at that stage. So, yeah, learned a lot. I took my learnings out of that. And but again, I've always been, you know, from day one, I loved the 15s game. So, yeah.
No, that's great. Every South African that I meet or talk to, they practically say that they were born with a rugby ball in their hand, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it shows. I guess talk a little bit about how you fell in love with rugby. Was it at a young age? Was it something that just kind of developed as your friends were playing? What brought you to the sport?
Oh, probably exactly what you just said. I born with a rugby ball in the crib. So, yeah, you know, my dad had a passion for the game. One of the first games I watched was the 95 World Cup. And, I mean, you know, watching something like that in a country like South Africa, you're kind of sold from the first minute. So, yeah, just the passion for the game since I can remember. You know, I think I played my first game when I was 5 years old, barefoot on the morning grass and the wet. But, yeah, just loved the game. And weekends, it's just spending time with my dad, kicking the ball around, my brother. So it's just been a massive love for the game since I can remember.
No, that's great. Has your dad or your family been able to come to the US and watch you play in person?
Not yet, eh? But I know the man wants to make the trip, so hopefully he can do it this season. It would be really good and really special.
No, that'd be cool to see. Yeah, I'm sure Bill can. Bill, I'm sure you can help arrange that, can't you, buddy?
I'll see what I can do.
Make a few calls there.
Ryan, how old are you?
I'm 31.
So you probably remember a little bit about the World Cup in South Africa back in 95. Is that what it was?
Yeah. No, I remember that. You know, I've actually watched that World Cup again. So there's some good parts in that and a lot of character. Yeah, it was a good World Cup.
Yeah, Matt Damon was great.
Yeah, how would you rate Matt Damon's rugby skills watching that movie?
Oh, no, I think they probably had a double actor there for him doing those scenes, eh?
Well, if they were ever to make a rugby movie and you were to star in it, what actor would play you?
Oh, what a question. Jeepers. Man, I don't know. Probably the guy that has the same name as me, Ryan Gosling.
Okay, yeah, good actor.
Nice. Yeah, you know, back when the 95 World Cup was happening, I was actually beginning my career, and I do broadcast stuff, but I was in news. So I was with CNN at the time in Atlanta, and I was able to butter the sports department there enough where I was like, listen, you just send me down to South Africa and get me down to Cape Town. And like, I, at that point, I've been playing rugby for like 4 years. And they were like, I think we can make this happen. I was pumped because I loved Francois Pienaar. Was my favorite player. I thought for sure I was going to drink beers with him in a bar someplace. And then a day later, yeah, no, you're not going. pulled out. And then, of course, I missed one of the most incredible moments of anything, any sports history, not even just rugby, but just sports history. But all right. Now, bad segue, but let's talk about Canadian rugby for a second, Ryan. Let's talk about your teammate Matt Heaton. You know, obviously he's a Canadian teammate with Josh Larson, who we just talked to, but it seems like Matt just has his energy. He brings so much to the team. You know, talk about his play and what he means to the club.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, Heats is a champion. You know, we've been co-captains since day one. So, you know, kind of feeding off each other's energy on the field, you know. So, but off the field as well, you know, I think we work well together. And within the squad, you know, he's kind of become a dad figure for a lot of the guys, especially the youngsters coming in. You know, he always says he's got this German stripe in him, so he can be strict when he wants to. But it can also be a lot of fun off the field, which really brings the dynamic together. But I mean, on the field, just a hard worker, putting his body on the line week in, week out. And, you know, just doesn't ask much for it. He just does it. He just, you know, leads by example.
Yeah, good. And looking forward to seeing him play this weekend as well. But all right, coming up is our good friend John from Australia. How you doing, John?
G'day, guys. You can hear me?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. As always, love the show. I really love that you guys do this. Just a question from Ryan. I'm curious to know what kind of noise this comp generates back in South Africa. There's obviously quite a few South African players stretched across the comp, so it's not probably not a great time zone. But yeah, what's the noise? What sort of buzz does it get back in the homeland?
Yeah, cheers, John. Good question. You know, the first year it was kind of, you had this feeling because I was traveling between the Curry Cup and coming here. You know, it was kind of like a rumble about it. You know, is it something that's really going to take off? You know, is it going to be good quality of play? But what I've realized in the past 2 years, it's just been immense. Our guys are really talking about the growth of the sport and how they enjoy watching the quality of the play that's coming out of it. So a lot of interest, I'd say, out of South Africa. Obviously, a lot of players coming around this way, and there's heaps of players in South Africa in general. So, yeah, no, a lot of excitement around the growth of the sport in America and a lot of interest.
You want to follow up at all, John?
Yeah, look, Ryan, like, if you embraced American lifestyle yourself, I know that kind of came up a little bit earlier, but I mean, it's a very different sporting culture to South Africa. And I'm curious to know how you found that as well.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely different. I think if you look at the football and those kind of things, it's definitely a different kind of sport and the dynamic to it. But, you know, within the culture of rugby, the guys stay the same. You kind of move within that circle, and you don't, like, you wouldn't get a lot of hotheads in rugby. You know, it's just not part of the game, I'd say. And they kind of get moved out quickly. So, yeah, and you know, outside of that, staying disciplined within just your normal routine and professionalism and those kind of things hasn't really been that much of a challenge. You know, all the facilities and everything is available, yeah, if you want it or need it. So, but yeah, staying within the circles, it's kind of been easy, I would say.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John. Peter, thanks for coming up.
Ryan, we gaan die Currie Beeker wen. Who's going to win the Currie Cup?
I heard that accent when you asked Josh the question there. That is a good question. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, some teams are playing a few younger players, but I think the depth lies with the Bulls at the moment. I'd probably say they've got a good dynamic going on there, and they probably just load the team when it comes to finals again.
Okay, I got you. Thank you, sir.
Pleasure.
No, Peter, we can't let you off the hook. If you ask Ryan that question, then we have to ask you, who do you think is going to win the Curry Cup?
Well, I'm a Lions supporter, and they got no chance in hell, it looks like it. But the Cheetahs are doing well because they're playing their full squads while they're basically playing the other sides got their second stringers in, you know, in the Curry Cup, while the best players are playing in the European competition. So, but I tend to agree with Ryan there. You know, they'll probably, I think the Bulls are, if you look on paper, you know, they Jake White stacked them there. So come final time, I guess they'll be probably the favorites.
Peter, before you run away, if y'all don't know, he won't say this a lot, but Peter's son Ruben plays for Saracens, and it came out recently that he has one of the longest hang times of box kicks. Did you work on that in Arkansas?
Yeah, well, I teach him to box kick. He can't kick a ball, so I had to help him out, you know.
All right, Peter. Hey, thank you for talking to us, and good luck to Rubes this week. I think they're playing again on Tuesday in the Premiership Rugby Cup games. Good luck to him. We're always looking forward to watching him and see how he does. So, Ryan, jumping back to you. You know, again, we really do appreciate you being on here with us. We've got another 8 minutes. So here comes the really hard questions, the stuff that you're going to be like, oh no, I can't believe they know about this. So let's get off the pitch for a second, Ryan. Let's talk about Atlanta. You know, it's a cool city. I lived there for a number of years. Who are you off the field? You know, what do you do? What's your life like off the pitch?
You know, around Atlanta, there's so many, you know, nice things to do, nice places to see. We kind of enjoy driving out, like, it's about a 30-minute drive, and there's some nice nature walks and trails and lakes, you know, you can get busy with, which is really fun. But, you know, we call it a barbecue, yeah, but we enjoy a good braai when we get the opportunity on weekends. There's a nice river close by where we kind of get together as a squad sometimes, and we just have a good grill together.
Well, Ryan, speaking of food, Josh, who was on earlier, you probably heard him. He mentioned he was praising Atlanta's food spread after the game. So you got to tell us, what's with the spread? What kind of food is everyone getting down there?
Oh, mate, the options are endless. Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Okay, no, that's good. I guess, you know, speaking of food, have you had some comfort food down there yet? Southern food, like shrimp and grits or anything like that yet?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, some of the boys that are from Atlanta itself are proud of some of the local dishes, yeah, and we've had a few nights where someone would make something from their country or region or so, and some of the guys have definitely dished out some good spreads.
Wait, let me jump in here real quick, John. One of the people listening who can't talk sent me a DM. He asked, do you like pot roast?
Pot roast?
Kyle Cicada, who's starting at, I believe, Loosehead, his nickname is Pot Roast.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say yes.
Okay, good. Go on, John.
Okay. Yeah, we get some random questions here sometimes, Ryan. Thank you for rolling with that. You probably heard when we were chatting with Josh, we're going to ask him some silly questions here. Who's the funniest or who's the best prankster on the team?
Ooh, the best prankster. Cheapest. I'd probably say Eamon Matthews. You know, he's a real entertainer. He can get the crowd going from nothing. So we enjoy him. There's a good laugh around him. Some nights around the grills as well.
Nice, nice. Who's got the funniest accent on the team?
I'd probably say Joaquin. We sometimes, you know, just making some calls when he's saying something. We actually had a good laugh today. We were trying to make a call green, and he couldn't completely make the call. So yeah, he just pointed to the grass. So we've had a few good laughs around what he says.
Hey, thinking on the fly, pointing the green. That's good.
Yeah.
Sorry, one more time. The same person who asked about the pot roast insists I ask this question. And if he's wrong, I'm going to track him down and I'm going to have to hurt him. He asks, Ryan, if you have a recipe for monkey gland sauce.
Yes, I actually, my wife does, you know, she enjoys, so she will definitely have a recipe for monkey gland sauce.
What is monkey gland sauce?
What the hell is it?
Man, it's kind of like a sweet barbecue, I'd say, if I had to compare it to something I've faced, yeah. So it's something in that line.
Okay. You put it on chicken or whatever?
I'll probably say meat, like red meat, steak, or something like that would be good on it.
That works for me.
Actually, I'm getting hungry thinking about it. Interesting name for it. All right, we asked Josh who was the fastest forward on the team, so I'm going to have to ask you, who's the fastest player on Rugby ATL?
Ooh, the fastest player. Well, we train with GPS units, so some of the guys, you know, we always make a joke, they travel through the air after a tackle and they go really fast and they claim that's their top speed. So, but it would probably be Joaquin. I know some of the forwards would throw their GPS a short distance and then they want to claim they're the top speed. So we've actually got a board with all the names on, and I think his name is like right at the top there.
Nice. Somehow drop goals became something we talked about here on the episode. So I guess I'd have to ask you, if you were to attempt a drop goal in the game, how would that go over with the coaching staff?
Is it going over or is it miss?
It's going over.
It's going over. Oh, I think it would be a good laugh, and we probably have a good dropout for Steve. We enjoy having a nice little rugby golf session or kick the crossbar or something. You know, Steve's always in for a good game, so yeah.
Nice. So it's safe to assume that the drop goal is probably not in the game plan against New England on Saturday.
Well, you never know. We might surprise you.
That's right. I like it.
Hey, we don't know exactly what their game plan is, John. We could totally just be drop goals. Yeah. All right. So listen, everybody, we're down to 2 minutes left. It's been a great hour. Two great guests today. But I want to give Ryan a last chance to jump in and I don't know, maybe, you know, Josh had a chance to say something to you. Maybe if Josh was listening, if he's not, you know, what message would you give to the Free Jacks this weekend?
Yeah, you know, we're looking forward to a good challenge. I'm sure both teams prep really, really well. You know, I think it's going to be a nice physical game. A lot of the players know each other as well. So just looking forward to the challenge and bringing out the best in each other, you know. I think in this conference, especially, you know, these teams, we tend to bring out the best in each other. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good challenge. We're looking forward to it.
And John, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to ask Ryan this question, but what do you think the outcome is going to be?
Gosh, Phil, I was hoping we'd run out of time before you'd ask me that question. So I'm going to stall for as long as I can. And I'm just going to say it's going to be a very – I think it's going to be a very – yeah, as everyone mentioned, I think it's going to be a very tight – I think it's going to be a physical game. I think everyone's seen that the Eastern Conference has really stepped up their game this year. I mean, I think it's going to be a dogfight between – you know, the top three teams. And, of course, you can't count out Toronto. I think once they start playing at home, and I know I'm not answering your question, but I'm going to keep going. I know Toronto is going to be has a few home games coming up here real soon, and, you know, you can't count out New Orleans. But, you know, Matt, no matter what happens here, both teams are going to be in the hunt for the long haul, and I think there's going to be a point or two that separates all of them before it's all said and done. But it's going to be a draw. Neither team's going to win. How about that? I'll answer your question.
Yes.
And very neutral.
Yeah, I predict some team will outscore the other team. It will not be a draw. Okay, so it is that time, everybody. It's the end of the show. I want to thank you all for joining us. A very special thank you to Josh Larson and Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck this weekend and good luck the rest of the weekend, the rest of the season.
Well, John, thank you very much. Appreciate your time and, yeah, love the show. Hope to chat to you guys soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, everybody, again. Tune in every Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Just talk rugby, talk everything. And don't forget to give us, the hosts, and Ryan and Josh a follow on Twitter, Instagram, or whatever social media channel they are. And sign up for Rugby Morning emails and visit EaglesOverseas.com. All right, everybody, have a great weekend and good night.